Yeah, I started.
Okay, but it got all the all this stuff also.
I saved that to a different file, and I'll delete it.
So, okay. So, yesterday, last night, only a few hours ago, we ended off with Bishul Akum, and now I want to move on to Pat Akum, which is kind of moving backwards because Bishul is Kofiut Gimal and Pat is Kofiut Bet, but. There's one point that I wanted to, I mean, we started doing that last night and then I kind of trailed off, but I wanted to make sure that we don't leave this this concept unvisited. Somebody asked, what would be the halacha, even for Bishul Yisrael? Now, let's say a person is doing what he should and trying to be makpid on Bishul Yisrael Nedat Maran. What happens if you have a Jew who is not Shomer Torah Mitzvah? And he cooks for you, or she cooks for you. And it happens a lot. So is that, what does that fall under? Is that, now again, best case scenario is that you have the world's biggest tzaddiki, so the olam always cooking for you, or tzaddikit, whatever, but that doesn't always happen. So the shayla becomes, are you allowed to rely on that for Bishul Yisrael? So I said that there is a machlokot rishonim as to exactly the origin, or not the origin, but the reason for why the chachamim made the Isur of Bishul Akum. It's actually Machloket Rashi and Rashi. Rashi in Avodah Zarah Daf Lamed He Amud Bet and Rashi in Daf Lamed Chet Amud Aleph say two different reasons. In one place, Rashi says that it's because of Chatnut, of intermarriage. We don't want, you know, especially because of food, when food very plays a very, very pivotal role. Like the Torah already says, V'kara lecha, v'achalta mizimcho, v'lakachta mibenotav levanecha, food and, you know, sitting down and just like Americans call it chilling, that leads to all sorts of, you know, lovey-dovey feelings, and that can lead to intermarriage, and the Chachamim were concerned, and therefore they said Bishul Akum is Asur. That is Chitum. Chatnut. Yeah? Another reason that the post can bring down is because of Shemei Achilenu Devar Tameh. Perhaps he'll feed you something non-kosher. What's the difference? At the end of the day, isn't it a sur? It's nafkamina. Nafkamina is a Jew who's that the post can bring down, Yisrael Mumar. Yisrael Mumar means he is, I mean, in the colloquial sense of the word, it means that he is Oved Avodah Zarah. The guy is completely off. But we know in Judaism, in Halakha, there are certain things that even if a person doesn't actually go worship Avodah Zarah, there are certain things that he does that can be considered just as work, just as bad. What's that? For instance, if it's Mechalen Shabbat, Mechalen Shabbat b'Farhesia, Dino Kegoyet, Dino Ke'avodet Kuchavim. In general, the Gemara brings it down, the very last halacha in the Rambam in Chot Shabbat, is that in general, when a person does an Avera, how does a person become a Rasha? What's the definition of Rasha?
Someone that does it, makes it a habit for him.
What's a Rasha? For instance, Maran brings down, Choshen Mishpat, Siman Lamed Gimel, Rasha, Pasul Eidu. What's Rasha? You think Rasha? Aisav, Zo. No? You heard my Aisav story yesterday? I have to listen to the recording. Oh, you have to listen to it. It's a Persian Aisav story. It's great. Huh? You know my Aisav story? Okay, I have to say it again because it's just like so gishma. I was one time, it was Kriyat HaTorah, and some guy got an aliyah, and he wanted Ashkava. Okay, like, you know, so what are you going to deny Ashkavat an elderly Sephardic man? It's like killing him. You know what I'm saying? It's like oxygen, right? Nahon, Nathan? You don't do Ashkava for somebody, you're done. Anyway, Bikitsur, so I did him Ashkava. And he says, Isa ben Yaakov. I'm like, what? Isa ben Yaakov? No, my son. He says, no, Isa. I'm like, it doesn't sound right. I said Ben Yaakov, and I see people behind me laughing. They're laughing. I'm like, okay, I guess. I said Ben Yaakov. Am I going to change his name? Posthumously, after he's dead, I'm going to change his name. So they're laughing. They say, no, no, you don't get it. By elderly Persians, the way they say Yitzchak, how do Persians say Yitzchak? They say Isav, right? So I thought the guy was saying Isav. Did you know this?
Did they say Isav?
Yeah. Tagid Yitzchak, tagid. No, Esav. Okay, anyway. And then Esav Yan, that's like Yitzchak Yan. What's wrong with Yitzchak, man? Is Baya? Anyway, Bekitzer. So now, the guy. So what's Rasha? Rasha Pasul Udu. What's Rasha? Rasha is a person who's Over Avera. Person's Over Avera. Now, in general, in the Torah, a person's Over one Avera, you become Rasha for that Avera. Yeah? A person eats non-kosher, he becomes Rasha for whatever he did. A person's Goel Nida, he's Over, he becomes Rasha for that Avera. There's only one Avera in the entire Torah, and the Chachamim learn out from Psukim that you can do one Avera and become Rasha for the entire Torah, which seems a little bit not fair, but that's the way it works. What's that? Avodah Zarah. Person's Avodah Avodah Zarah. Boom. Torah says you're Rasha for the whole Torah in one Isu, which is not the norm. The Chachamim learned out from Avodah Zarah that there's another kind of Avera that you can do that does the same thing. Chas Shalom, not you, but somebody. That's Chilul Shabbat. Why? What's the common denominator between Avodat Kochavim and Chilul Shabbat?
They're denying Hashem's existence.
You're denying Kadosh Baruch Hu's either existence or the
creation of the world.
Creation of the world, his power, b'chule. So the Chachamim said, you do that Isur, you're Rasha for everything, and then becomes Dino Kegoy. You do other Averot, it's not Dino Kegoy. You do this Isur, Dino Kegoy. So now...
Question?
Yeah.
Is there still Avodah, is there still any way to do Avodah Zarah today?
Oh, yeah.
How? What, practically?
No, there's plenty.
We're not going to bow down to a cow, but like... Is there any way that people are like nechshal in this?
Probably much less than older generations, because like the Gemara says in Yoma Dav Samachtit that the Chachamim abolished. There's a very strong Yitzharah. There's a very strong taiva for Avodah Zarah. We can't really understand it. We have such taavot for Nashim, but for Arayot. But in those times they had taavot for Arayot and also for Avodah Zarah. It was like woof, nuts and. People run after it. There's no to that until the Chachamim Anshei Knesset HaGdolah came and they prayed to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and they abolished the Yetzirah, and they tried at the same time to abolish the Yetzirah for Arayot also. That kind of backfired, so then they backed off of that. They said, you know, Dayeno will take off the Avodah Zarah, but you know, I guess it's still prevalent. People still do it, you know. I don't know, you know, there's plenty of Avodah Zarah still out there. Whatever the dirich of the avodah is, that's how a person's over. So now, that being said, there's a lot of these. Sometimes people travel to the Far East and stuff like that, and they explore and all sorts of stuff. So you really have to be not you, but you know, it exists. That being said, a person like that, what do you want to ask?
I want to ask about the Yabia Omer regarding Ilchot Birkat Kohanim. Doesn't it say about? One that like that is Mechalal Shabbat Faresia, since he already does like Kiddush and such, since he's already meeting Mekadesh Shabbat over there, so then it's not so, really...
Again, there are, I'm going to get to that in a second, but, you know, people tend to say, that's not the, it's the Abi Omer quoting the Binyan Tzion and many other poskim, that although Chilul Shabbat, according to Chazal, gives a person Dino Kegoy, a person becomes Mamash, he takes on Halakha V'Goy, but, you know, there are, and now that has a lot of ramifications. It means that he can't be part of a minyan. It means that, we're going to get back to Bishul Akum in a second. It means that that he doesn't have ne'emanut on certain things. It means that if he pours wine that's not mevushal, it's considered yain nesech. There's a lot of ramifications, a lot of nafkaminot ledina about a person being dinokegoi. Now, whether in our generation, for better or for worse, Chilul Shabbat is much less frowned upon than in prior generations. Unfortunately, it's become like more, you know, Chas v'Shalom to use the word accepted, but much more rampant, and people aren't as shocked as they were once upon a time. And people have the mistaken notion that you can be a good Jew and you can be a practicing Jew, even if you're not Shomer Shabbat. Obviously, nothing is further from the truth, but that's, some people have this mistaken notion. So because of that, some poskim want to be melamed zechut, and they make kiddush, and they go to shul, and all sorts of stuff. So how can you tell me he's kofir b'ma'aseh b'reshit if he does all this stuff? So as a limud zechut for these people, sometimes to count them as part of a minyan, and sometimes to say maybe their wine isn't yainis, and all sorts of stuff. So there are poskim in the last 100 years or so that try to be melamed zechut in this way, and we're mitzaref otam in certain situations.
They don't make yainis.
Huh?
You're saying they don't make not yainis?
Depending on the circumstance, but the Binyan Tzion and other poskim say, no, they don't. Now, and that's the Abiyama actually does bring that lalacha. If you have a Jew who unfortunately is mechallel Shabbat b'faresia, but he makes kiddush and he believes and he goes to shul and whatever, he just says this mishigas that he's mechallel Shabbat lalacha b'di'avad. Obviously, it's not a good thing. Here, pour some non-mevushel wine. No, don't do that. But if he did it b'di'avad, he's not oseh. That's the Abiyama. But at the end of the day, does such a person have ne'emanut? Does a person have believability, trustworthiness with regards to inyanei halacha, with regards to kashrut, with regards to stuff like that? Can you have a mashgiach in a restaurant that's mechallel Shabbat? You can't believe him. I'm sorry. There's, you know, lefi halacha, you know, being believed as a Jew is a privilege. You have to live up to certain standards in order to have that privilege. It's a responsibility also. So what's the nafkamina based on what we said before? Yisrael mumar. If a Yisrael mumar, Israel, who's Oved Avodah Zarah, Chas V'Shalom. Israel, who's Mechallel Shabbat B'Farhesia. Israel, who lives a totally, totally secular, non-religious lifestyle. If he cooks something for you, is that an issue of Bishul Akum or not?
Well, based on intermarriage, they'll still be Jewish at the end of the day.
Yefe. Says the Petchei Teshuvah in the beginning of Bishul Akum, it brings the Tiferet Moshe. Says, interesting. Says, no. You can't, over there, if the issue is intermarriage, so what? What are you going to tell me? Maybe you're going to marry his daughter. Okay, if you marry the daughter, a Jewish girl, daughter of a Oved Avodah Zarah, or Mechallel Shabbat, is that a problem of intermarriage? Ma pitom, at the end of the day, his daughter's still Jewish. So over there, you still would not have the issue of Chatnut. But what about Shemei Achilenu Davar Tamei? What about the fact that he might give you something treif? That's still an issue. Well, what if he says, no, no, it's kosher?
Do we have an emanut on him?
He doesn't have an emanut. He doesn't. So even if he tells you it's kosher, it doesn't matter. Now, right. I get the shayla all the time because there is such a, you know, there's such an idea out there. There are many people. It's very clear that mechallel Shabbatot don't have ne'emanut. Okay? What happens if a person or a family, you know, happens a lot by ba'alei teshuvah. Their parents, their grandparents are mechallel Shabbatot, but they keep kosher. Yeah, it's not not uncommon. It happens. They keep kosher. So now they invite you over to in and out. You want to know? Strict halacha says that they don't have ne'emanut, but they're saying they're kosher. So what's the halacha? Can you rely on them or not? So it's a very delicate shayla, and it really depends on the factors. There's no one size fits all cookie cutter answer to the shayla. It really depends on the variables. Again. What kind of mechallel Shabbatot are there? You remember we spoke about, we'll call them soft core versus hardcore mechallel Shabbatot. Vast majority of mechallel Shabbatot today are soft core. Meaning what? They say kiddush, they believe in Hashem Echad, they believe in HaKadosh Baruch who created the world. They have this taiva to be mechallel Shabbat. Yeah? So we'll call them soft core mechallel Shabbatot. Now, is it a stira? Now, again, are there plenty of people that are mechallel Shabbatot and don't keep kosher? Plenty. But there's also, like we said, this bria of being mechallel Shabbat, but also keeping kosher. It's more of like a traditional-ish kind of matzah. So if that's the case, you have to check, what does it mean that they keep kosher? Because sometimes they keep kosher according to their non-shomer Shabbat standards, meaning they think they keep kosher, but they really don't. Sometimes you look into it, you see that even though they might not, you know, buy nevelot u'trefot, but for instance, let's say they're not makpid on basar b'chalav. They cook it together and they, you know, all sorts of stuff like that. I've seen that happen also. You have to look into that. Sometimes either they don't know or they don't care. Nah, mapitom. It's kosher meat, kosher milk. Okay, nothing bad can come out of that. They just pasut. Either don't know or don't, you know, they're not aware. They don't care about such things. So also, keeping kosher is also relative, you know. For Mechallel Shabbat to tell you that he keeps kosher is not necessarily, you know, he's being me'id al atzmo, but it doesn't mean much. You have to know. Now, there's other situations where he could be Mechallel Shabbat, but legitimately keep kosher at home. This happens also. There's a different kind of bria. What's that? He keeps kosher at home, and he has, you know, he doesn't buy his only kosher meat, and he's mafrid ben basal l'chalav, and all sorts of good tzachin. But then, when they go out, they'll eat nevelot u'trefot. There's such a zach. They're not going to bring it home, but they'll eat it outside. You know, different. There's different levels of that over there. Bevadai, no, he doesn't have an emanut. Why the fact? I don't care that you keep kosher at home, but if you're so, the fact, what I'm trying to say is, the fact that he's mechalel Shabbat, in general, should have taken away his ne'emanut for all inyan halacha, including kashrut. But if you know that he's mechalel Shabbat, soft core, like we said before, and he believes in Ma'aseh Bereshit, and he says kiddush, like all of the achronei zmanenu say, and you know him to legitimately keep kosher, mibayto mechutz, so there, yesh makom le'akil, and sometimes you have the luxury of spot checking, especially if it's with family members, whatever, you can spot check. So I had family in Eretz Yisrael when I was there as a bachur. So I had family that was not religious, but also traditional Sfardi chiloni ish. You know, they're mechalel Shabbatot, unfortunately, but they keep kosher and they keep chagim mildly according to their traditional comfort zones. It's comfortable Judaism, convenient. If Judaism was a convenience store, it's convenient. Anyway, the kitzer, so they do mild stuff, and they used to invite me over for Shabbatot. So I didn't really feel comfortable. So I said, I used to go, and I said, I'll come over all tonight. I said, I don't like to impose. You want me to come over? So we'll do like this. They used to have a self-clean oven. So I said, first of all, we're going to fire up the oven. Okay, that's first of all. Second of all, we're going to go shopping together. Eretz Yisrael, it's not only it's not only kosher versus treif that you have to worry about. You have to worry. There's a lot of things over there. There's
hashgachot.
Forget about hashgachot also. I'm saying ola, tevin, shvi'it. There's stuff that goes on. You have to know to what ma'asrot. There's a lot of things going on. So I said, you know what? Do you mind to take me shopping? We'll go shopping together. Okay, fine. Then what? And I said, and then I'll cook or you cook. Yeah, but kashrut the oven first, okay. And then what about silverware and zachen? Only chad pami, only disposable. So, okay, we said they didn't care. And I went. He said, again, that's generous. Not always do you have that opportunity. But if you have family that really wants to see you enough, and again, did I have to go that far? Maybe not. Maybe yeah. I don't know. Because like I said, ne'emanut is very now. Yeah, kashrut is also, but so again, in those situations, we have a person who's mechalel Shabbat, and then they legitimately keep kosher at home, and you check, and you see, yeah, mamash, they go shopping in a kosher supermarket, and they're mafrid ben basar l'chalav and whatever. Maybe they don't keep everything they need to, but the basics they keep. Chalav Yisrael and Pas Yisrael is out the window. That's for sure. Yashan, they don't know what you're talking about. They just doesn't register on the Richter scale. You know what I'm saying? So, but these are things that come up, so you have to know. So back to Bishul Akum, where do they stand? So this is actually a tshuva in Yabi Omer, which about 50 years ago or so, they used to have the canning factories, the most the biggest canning factories in Israel for tuna and pickles and stuff. Pickles put on the side because there's no Bishul Akum over there. The tuna, which also, technically speaking, doesn't have Bishul Akum issues also, but under the Abiy Omer was misinformed about the production of tuna. So many you check in a few places in Abiy Omer, and he references tuna cans as requiring Bishul Yisrael. Bishul Yisrael. Why? Because tuna, the fish itself, it's not herring. Ever see a tuna fish? It's a 300 to 500 pound fish. It's huge, huge, big fish. So, that being said, it's something that's olei al shulchan melachim, and therefore, according to the prerequisites of what we said for Bishul Yisrael, it would require Bishul Yisrael. The only thing is, tuna cans aren't cooked. If you ever, how tuna is canned and prepared? It's steamed, kitur, which is a process that does not require, it's not a form of cooking, it's a form of, it's a different kind of cooking that doesn't require Bishul Akum. But the question was, under the assumption of the Abi Omer at the time, that tuna cans do require Bishul Yisrael, these canning companies were in the kibbutzim all the way up north. Now, I don't know if you know what goes on in kibbutzim, but like, if there's stereotypical, non-religious, not caring about anything Jewish, not knowing about anything Jewish, Jew, they're in a kibbutz. You know what I'm saying? That's it's really, and not only that, historically they've been very anti-religious also. So they were the ones doing all this stuff. So the question was, does this pose an issue of Bishul Akum? So Maran Zichron Lecha brings down the whole machloket that we spoke about before. He delves into the reasons behind Bishul Akum, whether it's because of Chitun or because of Shemei Achilin or Devar Tameh. At the end, since Bishul Akum is only in Isur Derabbanan, and not only that, it's an Isur Derabbanan that doesn't have Eikan Batorah. There's no primary source for Bishul Akum in the Torah. It's a Gzirat HaChachamim made because of various reasons that they saw fit. Since it's only Midrabbanan, we can be Mekel according to the Shita that says that Yisrael Mumar does not create Bishul Akum. Davka Akum. We go with the reason that Shemei because of Chatnut. So let's say, yeah, now you're going to eat some kibbutz guy's cooking, and then you fall in love with his daughter. Okay, and his daughter's Chozeret B'Tshuva Shleima, and she becomes the world's biggest tzaddiket. Yeah? Is there any issue in marrying her?
No.
I mean, you got to check her yichus, but assuming that both parents are Jewish and everything else checks out, why not? So over there, la'alacha ul-ma'aseh, Maran Zichron Lecha paskins like the lenient opinion, and therefore even for us. I mean, we're not, we got bigger fish to fry than tuna cans, no pun intended. You have a situation where you have a family member or whatever it is, a person who is non-religious, and they cook something for you. So you might have other kashrut concerns, but la'alacha bishul akum isn't one of them. As long as they're yid, now, that being said, sometimes if there are bishul akum issues, there you might have to take other things into consideration as well. So that's with regards to that. I didn't really start with this with pata akum today as I wanted to. I'm just going to give you a little bit of a shiur hakdama on pata akum. Like I said in previous shiurim, the halachot of pata akum are significantly more lenient than bishul akum. And Maran makes mention of this in several of the seifim, and in Bet Yosef, in the beginning of Siman Kufyud Bet, which is Pata Akum, the Bet Yosef quotes the Ran, Rabbeinu Nissim, who's the, anybody who's learning the daf knows that the Ran is the hero of Masechet Nedarim. Ve'edua. Because Rashi in, and the other Mefarshim, a little bit difficult to understand, the Ran comes and saves the day. Shtabach Shema. Rabbeinu Nissim, Migirona, yeah. Tremendous gaon.
It's very deep.
The Avnei Nezer, yeah. I mean, if you can quantify him like that, yeah. But the Avnei Nezer wrote that learning the Ran on Masechet Nedarim is a segula liyashrut. Wow. He says, because when it creates yashruta sechet, which gives you sechet yashar. If you ever learn through it, I don't know if they learn in yeshiva. Some yeshivas do, some yeshivas don't learn the Darm, and yeshiva we did. But it's a totally, totally, very different limud. Very different limud. The language is different, the layout is different, the format is different. Things different about Masechet Nedarim. So the Ran, the way he works, he explains everything. First of all, he's much more ma'arich than Rashi. Most of the dapim on Masechet Nedarim are pretty short. The dapim of Gemara itself is pretty short. But the Ran, Ma'arich. Now again, it wouldn't be the first Rishon on the Daf who's Ma'arich. If you ever learned Baba Basra, you know, Rashbam. Oh, Rashbam Ma'arich Me'od. Unlike Rashi. Rashbam Ma'arich, it's a different style. But the Ran is also Ma'arich, but a little bit of a different style. He gets, Rashi explains every nekuda of every step of the Gemara. It's clear, spells it out. Then he gets into the Alachot. Unlike other Rishonim, Rashi, his Rashi style wasn't to get into halachics. Like the Bet Yosef himself writes, in the Akdama of Bet Yosef, Rashi was a posik, but Rashi's job on the daf was not to be a posik. Same thing with Tosfot. Rashi and Tosfot were poskim. I mean, Tosfot wasn't a person. Tosfot were a group of people. So Rashi and Tosfot were poskim, but that's not what their focus when they wrote their Pirushim was exactly that. Lefarish, to explain. Rashi had one style of being Lefarish, Tosfot has another style. That's why in Bet Yosef, if there's a machloket Rashi and Tosfot versus the Rambam versus the Rosh, the Bet Yosef is much more compelled to paskin like whom? Like them. Not like Rashi and Tosfot. Why? Like the poskim. Rif, a posik. He wrote a sefer alachot. Rambam wrote a sefer alachot. Rosh, wrote psakim, sefer alachot. Says if you look in Akdama Bet Yosef, he separates the poskim, although they were all poskim, but to derive a halacha, the Bet Yosef is much more compelled to derive a halacha from Sefer halacha as opposed to a sefer that's only lefarish. Yeah, that's what he writes in Hakdamah Bet Yosef. It's very should learn the Hakdamah Bet Yosef at least once if you want to understand them well. Bet Yosef is the building blocks. Mi shelo lomed Bet Yosef or miskin. Miskin, mamash. You have the entire Kol HaTorah Kula is Bet Yosef inside. So much so, when Bet Yosef came out, many of the Gdolei Zmano were very upset about publishing the Bet Yosef. Namely, Maharib ben Lev, Rabbi Yosef ben Lev, was ben Doro, also Mechachmei Tzfat, of Manan Bet Yosef. He was very upset that the Bet Yosef came out, even went against it. He says it's cheapening the Limud HaShas, Limud HaPoskim. Why? It just condenses everything, gives you all the... First of all, it's around the tour. So you already have the Piskei Halachot from the tour. Then he brings you the Sugiyot. Very, you know, summarizes the Sugiyot in the Shas. Then brings you the Ikarim of the Poskim, Rishonim. And then tells you just to boot what the Halacha is. He says, where's the Alam Torah? In the beginning, Ma'ari ben...
It's so true.
Huh?
It's so true.
You ever learned through Rabbi Yosef, Ma?
I think it's very...
So for a person to... So the, in the beginning, the first generations that it came out, there was a lot of pushback. But Baruch Hashem, that subsided in Am Yisrael. Many of the most important Sfarim in Am Yisrael were once contraband. You know that. That just historically, making a Sefer, putting a Sefer in Cherem or speaking out against it is a big segula to have it read. You know that. That's how Am Yisrael works. Pri Hadash, Rabbeinu Yechizkiah de Silwa, also, he was two generations after Maran. Most of Pri Hadash he wrote against the Shulchan Aruch. So what did they do in Mitzrayim? They put it in Cherem. That for the first generation that Pri Hadash came out, it was in Cherem. Pri Hadash also passed away very young. So they were very very taken aback. The Bet Yosef was already accepted by everybody as the universal posik, Shekola Olam. And then Pri Hadash comes out and just starts attacking Maran all over the place throughout Shulchan Aruch. So in Mitzrayim, Chachmei Mitzrayim, they just put into Cherem. That was the Pri Hadash, one of the Yesodot of Limud HaAlacha. Chadash, remember? Pri Chadash. Maza Chadash? Chizkiya de Silwa. Chadash. Yeah? Mechachmei Yerushalayim. Tizkor. Now he says, Bekitzur, that's a good way to remember. Mikol Makom. So you have to know, when the Bet Yosef came out, that's why he's more compelled to do that. So the Ran, head again to this with the Ran. Rabbeinu Nissim writes, why is Pat Akum so much more kal than Bishul Akum? He says, Pat, bread, or baked goods, let's forget about other baked goods, but bread at least is one of the most important staples for life. The Torah says, "Ki lo al halechem levado yechiya adam." Okay, not on bread alone, but it's one of the most important things in life. You need it for nutrition. What creates more kiruv adat? What creates more of a friendship, camaraderie, connection? A steak or other foods or bread? Bread is something that's...
Steak.
Steak.
Well done.
Americans.
Well done.
No, you don't do that to a steak. Huh? That's a tired.
He heard this morning's shiur. Yeah. He had like heard last night's shiur. It's a famous line. You always say, rubber tire.
Tires, no problem. Huh? No, when the Persians, they have the kebabs that they make. They make it, well, it's mamash like eating a tire. Anyway, bekitzur. You know what I'm talking about? The cubes? I asked the guy in Kolbo one time, I asked Pedro, I'm like, why are you doing that? Come on. He's like, no, they're going to kill me if I don't do it like this. They really will. Anyway, Mikol Makom, so over there, Pat, something that's so necessary, it's not something that's going to create such a kiruv adat. So the Chachamim went a little bit easier on Pat than they did Bishul. Bishul, you make a person a meal, good, you know, fast a meal, creates this kiruv adat that the Chachamim were afraid of. So, Bezat Hashem, next time we'll continue on this journey of Patisai. Can we bring